Welcome to Scaling the Gap, the podcast for leaders who refuse to settle. I'm Madeline McRae, CEO and co-founder of ProQ. Here, we cut through the noise to tackle the real challenges of scaling your business while staying true to your purpose. Every episode brings candid conversations, proven strategies, and the kind of insights that don't just inform, they ignite action. If you're ready to stop talking about impact and start making it, you're in the right place. Let's get started. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to another awesome episode of Scaling the Gap. I am really excited to have someone on the show who you may have actually already heard because he hosts a really cool podcast called Franchise or Bust, which is a really fun show. Definitely give it a listen. We'll tag it here in the show notes. And the host of that show is joining us as our guest today, Trevor Emerson. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Really excited to be on this side of it. Very, very happy to have a moment to not have to come up with all the questions and just get some answers. So appreciative of that.
My joy. I actually love to be on both sides, but it's a wildly different experience. So I'm really curious, you know, you've been in lots of different places and lots of different types of industries and franchising and all sorts of things. So why don't you share a little bit with our guests about where you are today, what you're doing, and then we'll take a dive into your story and your podcast and all the wonderful things.
Yeah, for sure. So first of all, I guess one thing to know about me is I've never actually had a job before. I've always just been an entrepreneur. Even when I was in like college and things like that, I was cutting people's grass and teaching drum lessons and just, you know, that type of stuff. So once I got out, I got engaged with a friend of mine and we started the advertising agency that I still to this day own and operate, LSM. So yeah, I've been in the advertising space and digital marketing space in particular for going on 20 years. And here the last few years have been included podcasting inside of that world, as many people have, but with a focus on what we've come to have a good understanding about, and that is the franchise space and how we can leverage tactics and things to help franchise businesses succeed. But really, more than that, giving franchisors an opportunity to talk about their brands and talk about what works for them and just educate people on the value, you know, that their brands have, et cetera. So that's been cool. So kind of from my day job is owning and operating LSM and really understanding the franchise space and how we can perform inside of it. But then also being able to get familiar with CEOs and CMOs and different people like that in these brands to see, you know, what's making them tick and how can we learn more about the space so we can be even more effective.
Yeah, I love that. It's so exciting to have conversations with people who look from a different angle and from a higher level because you see things differently, right? Working with the small businesses, working with franchisees, they look at things from one perspective and then gaining a secondary perspective, it kind of rounds out the whole picture. And I love that. Just multimodality perspective makes it really, really rich. So I love that you went from this gig work in college, right? And to now never having had a job, really, right? Being self-employed the whole time to maintaining a business over a really long period of time. And I know that when we are in our businesses for a long period of time, there's a lot of transition, right? One of the things I tell our clients all the time is as you build your business, the person who's going to need to change the most is actually you. You are going to undergo so much change because you have to grow and adapt to the business that you're building and expand your own capacity to lead at a higher level. So I'm sure that this has been a journey that you've experienced yourself. Why don't you take us through a couple of those high and low points along the progression of your business?
Yeah, for sure. And I'll try not to talk too many about the low points because there's certainly been many. And if you're going to be an entrepreneur without any venture capital backing or private equity backing, then there's a lot of figuring it out.
And that's right.
In the process of figuring it out, you can certainly have some bumps. But a couple of things that I could say over the years that really were like kind of pivot points into trying to grow and succeed. When we first got started, it was a couple of guys in our, you know, early to mid 20s who were friends, and we were kind of almost like playing at business, if you will.
Yeah.
Oh, this is fun and we get to hang out and that kind of thing. And I liken this very where I'm getting to with that point is a lot of folks, when they get into, you know, where it could be franchising, it could be just trying to start a business, they have in their minds, they see the success. They see, okay, this, I want to be an entrepreneur because I see the guys that are playing golf and I see the guys that are flying first class and I see the guys, you know, I want those things.
Yes.
And we were the same way. We were like, we want those things. And can we get those things by just working a few hours a day and playing video games and eating pizza? Turns out after a few years of trying to do that, the answer was a firm no. That was not going to be the case. So really trying to identify and understand, one of the things that helped us a lot was identifying and understanding how can we present ourselves a little bit differently inside the space we were operating in. And that, you know, just briefly is one trigger point on what I think kind of propelled us into some actual growth and success. And to your point, the evolution of what needs to be the case. So we decided, well, a lot of it was me, but we decided in 2008 that we were going to show up every single day in a full suit and tie together, just the two of us at a specific time. And we weren't going to stop working basically till we were done working. So we were putting in, you know, 8:30 to 7 o'clock days.
Yep.
Just nonstop, really putting in the effort. But effort's one thing. We had to couple that effort with changing the way we approached how we're going to have conversation with our customers. And as you mentioned, evolution and changing is so important. And what we started to realize very quickly was the vast majority of people that were in our space at the time, they were trying to provide a digital marketing solution to their customers. What I began to realize is that that's really not our role. Our role is to provide a business solution for their business. So what happened is we began to understand very clearly that what we have to say and what we do is far less important in the conversation than what the customer needs or what their goals are or what type of profit margin they have on certain items or like those things, like those things that really matter, so that we could take that information and say, okay, now I know what we need to do to actually make you successful and have you continue to pay us. A lot of people can have great ideas and present it, but if you're not providing tangible, evidential results and practical application of what they need back to them, then eventually they're going to stop using you. So that was definitely like kind of one of those first big changes to your point. Like you say, we had to make a change and really figure out a better way to actually speak to someone and focus on their goals.
I love that. So there's a really interesting thing that you dropped in there, just like a little comment. We decided to dress in a full suit and show up every day to work. It really matters. Your external, how you work, where you work, how you look, how you feel when you show up to work speaks into the emails that you write and the vocabulary that you choose. And I think there's a really smart connection between looking successful, being dressed in a suit, and being able to make that discovery of, wait a minute, people need a business solution. People need this solution. They don't need digital marketing, right? Two guys wearing grungy clothes playing video games. Okay, that could have worked in college because it was a side gig. But as we progress our lives, we have more responsibilities. We progress our business. We actually want to see the success that we say we wanted. And we realize it's not going to come on a video game console, unfortunately, or fortunately, whichever you want to look at that. There's that dynamic of being able to look at what the customer actually requires. What are they going to measure success by? And you said so that they keep paying you, right? If your marketing is not producing a result, your client isn't going to be able to have money eventually, right? They're eventually just going to run out of money if they keep pouring money into something that's not yielding an actual business result for them. What's the point of doing the marketing in the first place, right?
Yeah.
So that was a good fine-tuning that came through that professionalization of your behavior, the professionalization of how you looked at what you did, and then how that actually translated into your, I'm assuming, your sales process, your project management, probably fed into every piece of your business, right?
Everything. And it's the only thing, really, that took us from being your classic story of like 3 years and out to getting from that to actual continuation and progression and really having a business at that point that was built upon structure and culture and things that matter and a focus, you know, and the focus became, we are now understanding that the service that we're providing is an inelastic service that's been around forever. And that is people who own a business need a way to get it out there to the public that I own a business and you need to come see me versus my competitor. Okay. Sure. That's advertising. That's it. And so really going in and saying, that is our whole mission here. Our mission is to try to help you succeed and grow. Now you tell me the areas that you need help with and how we can do it. Not, hi, how are you? I was looking at your website. Your SEO is bad. This is bad. This is wrong. Here's this is wrong. You know, things like that where they're just sort of, okay, you know, like that may matter to them, but what really matters to them is, are you providing value? And so, yeah, all those things were massively important. And then one thing that I always tell my team every annual meeting that we have, at the end of that meeting, I always tell them that next year, when we have this meeting again, we're going to be doing something different.
Mm.
So every single year, we're adopting something different. We're doing something different. Our cultural values and our core values may remain the same, but what we're doing and what we're going to provide and how we're going to give something to our partners that's really going to be a value changes, and it will always change.
Yes. That's that evolutionary process, right? Especially with something that works in the speed that marketing does, right? The change of the world is so fast, and that adaptation needs to be really agile, right? There's just a progressive attitude towards change that is mandatory for all business success. And I love that you put it right out there every year for your team, right? Because it can be easy for a team to get attached to what they're doing and then not to have that progressive attitude to change and to feel that it's something's being broken when you're making those adaptations. So I love that you just put it right out there every annual meeting. Hey, don't get too comfortable. Don't get too attached. We're going to ask you to stretch. We're going to ask you to grow. And you said something really cool in our green room time that I really appreciated. It's that this emphasis on your employee, that you need to sell yourself continuously to your employees. You need to sell your ideas. You need to make sure that your values are aligned with them. Talk to me a little bit about where that philosophy came from.
Yeah. So what I started to understand kind of early on, once we did get employees, because similar to the challenges, we'll just say, that we had when we first got started having employees for the very first time, we had a lot of challenges because we didn't know what we were doing. I mean, if there was an HR department, we violated everything. I mean, we literally did everything wrong that you could possibly do wrong. And so we had to start understanding that if we were going to grow and achieve the goals that we had of like having a large-ish agency, you know, that can really support and really go out there and have a national presence, that's going to be a lot more than just me individually. It's got to be, we got to have folks who are coming in. And I came up with a little slogan way back in the day that we have to have, the number one goal for the agency is to have happy, excellent employees.
Mm-hmm.
That's goal number one above anything else. No other goal is more important than that. Not a revenue goal. It's the staff. And so how do we have someone who's happy? Well, happiness is something that I can control, like management can control. In other words, giving them an environment, making sure that their environment, we're putting them on a good career path. We're actually being genuine. We do what we say we're going to do. We listen to them. We react. We do all those things that are so fundamental and important, and also give them the flexibility of like, hey, you have a life. Like, you know, way before any of the things of the last, you know, several years came out, I've always had kind of a flexible work schedule where it's like, if you got a dentist appointment, don't come in, like go to your dentist appointment and then go work at home. If you've got to let your dog out at 3:30, well, okay,
go do that.
I expect you to go do that. And then if you got stuff to do later on, then hop on later on and do your stuff. You know, that was never an issue. So doing your best, it's still work, right? It's still a job. No one's ever just going to come in and throw a party every day. But if you can do your best to try and make 90% or so of the folks under your employ have some level of happiness, that's going to translate into more effort, which is where the excellence is defined. Mm-hmm. Excellence comes from the staff member or the people working for you. Their commitment to themselves, to having goals, to having ambition, to really wanting to succeed in their life, that's all going to translate into how much care and effort they put into their performance. And if they care, if they really care, first of all, about themselves, they got to care about themselves. They got to have their own goals, their own desires. But if they do care about themselves and they're put in an environment where they can be happy and they can feel like they have a chance to be successful, then that is what's going to translate into customer success. Customer success is going to be there. And that's the only way for it that I've ever seen anyways, in an agency, a service-based business where that can work. You've got to have them motivated to say, I really care about succeeding. And thus, I'm actually going to really care about, you know, the partner that I'm working with to try to help their business.
Yeah. So,
happy, excellent employees. That's sort of been our number one mantra for years and years, and it still is. Everything else changes. Lots of other things ebb and flow, but that remains central and core. We got to have great people.
Yeah, steadfast. I appreciate the fine tuning of your definition of happy and excellent, because happiness in your paradigm yields more effort, and happiness is conditional on the career trajectory and the culture and the environment and the flexibility. It's really being real with people, being human, being real, allowing them to have responsibilities outside of work that don't need to compete with work. Too many times people make a dichotomy between work and home, and they make opposition there, right? When you make opposition, you're absolutely sucking out the opportunity for that person to feel happy, because they have to choose in a way that's unnatural, where creating conditions where if you need flexible hours, as long as you're getting your stuff done, hey, do it, right? I trust you. Do what you need to do. We don't want your dog having an accident and you having a bad night because of that, right? We don't, that doesn't do anyone any good. So that concept of happiness and result coming from it, and then marrying that up with excellence, starting as a commitment to self and care of self, is really beautiful. Most of the time, people look at excellence as an external metric of caliber of work, but yours is an internal metric of caliber of care, starting with self and care of your career, your trajectory. You use the word ambition twice, right? What do they want to do? Where are they going? Having something broader that they're working towards, and then they themselves can contextualize their contribution to the business, their contribution to your partner's successes and outcomes in light of that for themselves. That's super powerful.
So I think with anything else, you've got to pick a philosophy and go with it, right? That environment doesn't work for everybody. You know, I've had hundreds of employees over the, you know, over 500 employees over the years. And it doesn't work for everybody, because some people don't thrive in that type of environment, right? or they don't fall in those two buckets. Right. They don't fall in the bucket of excellence, and they don't react well in the environment of happiness as we outline it. So it cannot be for everybody, but who it is for and who it does work for, that translates into customer success, and that translates into longevity for our business and being able to succeed. So that's, we stick with it, you know, we stick with it. And it's an environment too that I really like for the staff members, because what they can count on, and I think this is really important, what they can count on is that their fellow teammates have to fall into that excellence category as well. So they're not having to, like, you know, pull someone up next to them, or like really be dragged down by someone, or by someone's attitude, or by like any of those things like that. Mm-hmm. That does not work in making sure that they know you're not going to be in an environment where you have some, you know, teammate that's next to you for, like, you know, bringing you down for the next like 6 months or a year.
Right. The central philosophy of the business has to be magnetic. And when something is magnetic, that means it attracts the things that are going to be having the right calibration to it, and is going to repulse things that aren't. And that's equally good, right? You want someone who doesn't fit within that culture for that to be evident, and evident fast, right? If you're going to have someone, I love to use my brother as an example. He is a brilliant programmer. He doesn't want to create big goals. He's not an ambitious guy. That's not what he wants. He keeps getting promoted again and again because he's super darn good at what he does. But he told his boss, like, seriously, stop trying to give me people to manage. I'm going to leave. If you force me to manage people, I'm going to leave. He doesn't want that. He doesn't see that for himself. So maybe this idea of where you're going in your life and the bigger picture outcomes, maybe that wouldn't be a good fit for him, right? But that doesn't mean he's not excellent in a different way and is not going to thrive where he is, right? And 100%. I think that that understanding who you are as an organization, that business is not you, but you bring you into it, and being able to have that component part be so clear, so magnetic, allows you to waste less time on the wrong people.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more.
Yep. We have a little saying that we teach our clients when they are making a transition to building out a bigger team, is that your team is customer number one for you, right? Your customers, you can find more customers. They're much easier to find than team members. Building and growing and asserting that core team that really helps you get there and moves you into that next category is far harder than attracting a customer and getting a new customer. So we call the philosophy of the three phone calls. If you get a phone call from an angry vendor, an angry customer, or an angry employee, which one do you take first, right? It's a very tricky question. And customer number one is always the employee. Always your team, right? Because they're the exemplification of your brand for your people, right? They're where your brand lives in real time, right? So they have to embody those core values that you hold, which is super powerful. I love it. I love it. All right. So I just wanted to ask one more question before we get to our, you know, little final wrap up here. My question is this: what along the way has just been unexpectedly delightful for you? You know, you talked about this never having had a job and building this business from the ground up and these iterations, learning about how to hire, who to hire, maintaining these philosophies, taking this really progressive idea towards change. Sometimes in business, yes, okay, there's the hard things, and we talked about some of those. What were the unexpected delights that you didn't foresee?
Yeah. So I would say one of the things I did not foresee that's really been great has been being able to have such a big network of people that I've been able to establish relationships with across the country, across multiple different, you know, kind of verticals and just ways of life and businesses and different things like that over the years. Just my own skills and my own knowledge and my own abilities as a person has grown exponentially because of being able to be way more just out there, diversified, besides just having my business like here in Nashville and just being like just my Nashville people and my team, you know, like that kind of thing. So, and that was sort of the original plan, was just, well, we'll just be here. But really being able to expand out, have relationships and contacts with people all over the country has been fantastic. I mean, and developing like true friendships. I mean, I've got a person out in Arizona. We started out, you know, business relationship, and we become great friends, and we go to the Waste Management Open, Phoenix Open every year together. And we're on hole 16 and we have a blast and we've just become friends. And through him, I've met more friends so it's been, that's been one of the best, probably the best thing for me for sure, is not only the friendships, but certainly from a business standpoint too, like consistently being able to rely upon referral and rely upon people coming back to LSM and back to me. And even though we're not perfect, no agency is. We don't do everything perfectly, but people know through the network and through the years that, you know, I've built up enough goodwill, I guess, for really just having that kind of reputation to care a lot about what's going on. So that's been a real kind of unexpected pleasure, is really just inside of those relationships and the fun and the cool things that's come out of it. I mean, through LSM, I've been able to do a tremendous amount of like really cool and fun things. And so it's really enriched my life, which was one of the core founding principles of LSM. Like, why are we doing this? And I tell folks all the time here, I'm like, if you're going to get up every day, you're going to come in here, you're going to work hard, and you're going to sometimes at night go home and work hard again. And then you're, you know, like, and this can be a grind. there's got to be something to it, right? In other words, there's got to be some kind of reward. It can't just be money.
Right.
I mean, money is fine, but it can't just be money. And for me, it's been a lot of the experiences. The experiences and the relationships have been really cool.
I love that. So cool. So cool. And it's when we look at what success is going to look like when we're building in the very first time, the very beginning of our careers, or the very beginning of being an entrepreneur, what we have in mind as a picture of it is very, very different than the reality. And so often when you can't reconcile what you thought it would be with what it is, you miss the beauty of the picture that you did get after all, right? And this rich, robust relationships that have contributed so beautifully into your world. It's a great, great add-on feature.
Mm-hmm.
Great add-on.
For sure.
All right. So we know that there's always a question. And for those of you listening at home, you know what it is. We know we got to talk it through. One last question before we wrap it up. This has been a fantastic conversation about just what it takes, this agileness. There's a sense of agility throughout your story that just is resonating so deeply with me, because it's hard to be agile, right? It's hard to have a progressive mindset towards failure, towards change, towards adaptation. And it's just a really resilient factor that I hear over and over in the different threads that we've been weaving here together. So in light of all of this, the highs and the lows, the ups and the downs, all the unexpected gifts and crazy challenges, Trevor, do you consider yourself to be successful?
Yeah, I do. And that is not reflective in bank accounts. And that's something that I try to always keep in mind. So if you try to measure success on the zeros that are attached to your name, there's always going to be somebody more successful than you. And there's always going to be that next step. And that, you know, you're always chasing at that point. Mm-hmm. I feel like then you never really have any type of ability to just say, yeah, I'm proud of what I've done, or I'm satiated by some of the things that I've accomplished. And so for me, the feeling I get for why am I successful and how am I successful has evolved tremendously over the years. Originally, when I was a young man who was single and everything else, I felt very successful because of the freedom I had. I had the ability to travel when I wanted to. I had the ability to not come in if I didn't want to, because I'm the owner and I can do this and I can do that, right? And those things made me feel successful. Now, the success I feel is all about family, kids, and seeing them be happy and seeing them enjoy themselves and enjoy their lives. And that really means more to me than the business success, because the business success ebbs and flows.
Mm-hmm.
And the real success is, are we still sticking to that core vision? That core vision is, this business is here in order to improve our lives. And if the lives of my children, the lives of my wife are steadily being improved, then I consider that successful. So we continue, you know, down that path to succeed.
I love it. I love it. So when people talk about success, I always like to backwards engineer a little success algorithm that's unique to them, because every single person has a different emphasis, a different perspective on why they do or don't feel successful within their lives, careers, et cetera. And one of the things that you mentioned is that what success looked like when you were in the beginning is different than what success looks like today, and that progression, again, here's that theme popping up, is really important to acknowledge what it means to you today and not to get so hung up on what you used to think it would mean, right? And so many people think it means the zeros attached to your name. And every successful person who I've talked to says it's not, right? And I think that has a little bit to do with when you're not struggling. If you are struggling, the zeros matter way more in a different way, because it's a survival problem, not a success problem. So let's see how I did with your algorithm. I pulled a couple pieces from other things that we chatted about. So for Trevor specifically, success equals improving lives, familial joy, rich, deep relationships, holding a pride of accomplishment, and being able to create happy, excellent employees.
Yeah. I mean, I think you nailed it. Those are definitely my primary drivers, no doubt about it. And the ones that I would feel proud of. And when you're an entrepreneur, it's hard to sit back, and you're always you're constantly looking at the next thing. You're always moving and you're never satisfied, you know, all those type of things. So
yes.
even just vocalizing out loud for, you know, 5, 10 minutes, hey, this is what I'm proud of, successful of, that means a big, that's big too.
It is big, and it's important to take the space for that, right? Because we can always look at what's still ahead of us, what mountain we still have to climb. We didn't even know there was another mountain on the other side of the mountain, and then we climbed and we're like, oh my gosh, there's another mountain. We get really inspired, we go get it, and then we're trekking again. And it can be really grueling, actually. The entrepreneurial journey is not for the faint of heart. It is grueling. So pausing to acknowledge that there's so much beauty here and that you're already doing so much, and you do actually get to enjoy being successful while you're still building. And that's nothing wrong with enjoying the success you have and being able to luxuriate in it. Actually magnetizes more towards you. So it's important to pause and notice it. So amazing algorithm. I love this. These component parts woven together make something really, really personal and beautiful. So if people want to connect with you further, what would be the best way for them to find you, reach out, follow you, etc.?
Yeah. So love if people found me on LinkedIn. It's really easy. So Trevor Emerson, LSM, you can easily find me that way.
Awesome.
You'll get information about Franchise Robust on there, and you'll get information just about me and LSM as well. And then, yeah, www.lsm.works or www.franchiserobust.com. Either of those two spots is a great way to get more info about Trevor or more info about LSM, which is more important than me. So would love for folks to take a look at those two spots, and always feel free to reach out. If I could leave this discussion with anything, it would be, I feel like the best entrepreneurs and the best folks to do and engage in business with are the genuine ones, the ones that don't have an agenda, the ones that aren't trying to manipulate you, the ones that actually are who they say they are. And that's something that I think I take a lot of pride in. And I know here at LSM, we take a lot of pride in being that way as well.
I love that. Love it. Us too. Kindred spirits over here, right? Authenticity matters so much. Put the mask down. It's unnecessary. And it's a barrier to genuine relationship. And that delightful component part of your entrepreneurial journey are those deep relationships. And if people are putting a mask on and trying to force their way through something, you won't ever be able to get there from there. So pretty cool. All right, my friend, thank you so much for joining us today. And for those of you listening today at home, I hope that you take a little inspiration and some of these component parts, having a progressive mindset towards failure, being able to and towards growth, being able to continuously challenge your own assumption of who you are, what are you doing, where are you going, while maintaining the core component of who you are and why you started doing what you're doing. And if you can listen back and go listen again to the definition of happiness and excellence and see where in your business you can find simple words that you can define so concretely that help you identify that core of your business and make you irresistibly magnetic to both partners and to employees. And if you're able to do that, it'll be time very well spent. Thank you so much for joining me, Trevor. It was an absolutely delightful chat. And for those of you listening from home, I'll catch you on the next episode. Bye for now. Thanks for tuning in to Scaling the Gap. If today's episode inspired you or sparked an idea, I'd love to hear about it. If you're an ambitious leader with a story to share, visit proqsystems.com, click on Media and Events, then select Podcast to apply to be our guest. We'd love to spotlight your journey. Also, don't forget to follow the show and leave us a review to help bring more transformative insights to leaders just like you. You can also connect with me, Madeline McRae, on LinkedIn for more conversations, access to our exclusive tools and resources. Until next time, keep scaling your impact and building a legacy that matters.